I'm sure you are aware that Pastor Moss's theme for the new year is everything is going to be okay. And I'm sure if you are like me, you're kind of excited about seeing how he's going to work through the year and bring us to the point where everything's going to be okay. But because of his illness, I was asked to fill in this morning. And what we're going to do is look at a way of beginning. Would it be better, brother, if we turn this mic on and shut this one down? Keep on that one? Okay. Because I have a tendency to move away now and then, and I didn't know. All right, thank you. We're going to start out with, first of all, Genesis 1:1. And how long did you say before dinner? Till we get to Revelation 22? In the beginning, Genesis 1:1, God created the heaven and the earth. What a better way to begin the new year than to begin the new year with God. And what I would like to do this morning is to bring us back to the basics, back to that which is the beginning of a believer's life. That which is the foundation which we as believers walk on and live by and stand on. Because if we're going to get through another year of what the world is doing, and as you have learned this past year from Pastor Moss, the world has a completely different philosophy than we as believers do. And because the world has a completely different philosophy, we need to keep focus. Amen? And where do we keep focus but on God Himself? And so we see in the beginning God. And the word God here is in the singular form, but in plural in meaning, which means that it references to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And we see here that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit do not explain to us their existence. One of the hardest things for us or anyone in the world is to step outside of time. What is it like to have no time? We say God always existed. We say God is from eternity past to eternity future. But God lives in the present continuously. You look in this verse, it mentions in the beginning, it gives us time. It says God created the heaven, that gives us space. It says God created the earth, that gives us matter. Time, space, matter. That which was created for us. We live in time, space, and matter. God lives outside of that. There's no way that we can look at God and even begin to imagine timelessness, because we live in time. There's no way that we can somehow picture no hourly clock or whatever. So that's why we always ask, what was God doing before? What point in time did he plan creation? The strange thing is, there was no point in time. Amen. Because it was timelessness. So in order to understand and comprehend this God, how big is your God? How great is your God? What is your God like? The more you understand about God, the more that you understand and recognize God for who he really is, and your faith becomes much stronger in God than in man. One of the major problems with most of us is that we tend to have more confidence in we ourselves, do we not? Than in God. And yet God created us and created everything. And we see not only God the Father as the creator, but we also see God the Son. You're familiar with, I'm sure, John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So we have God the Son as well, creating. Where do we see God the Son? Verse 3 of Genesis 1 says, and God said, there's the Word. John 1:4 says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. John 1:9. Proverbs chapter 20. Verse 27 says this, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly or the inward man. What does it mean by the candle? The light that lights everyone that is born into this world. From John 1:9, we know this is a true light which lighteth every man. Isn't it something when you think about a little child that is born recognizes there is a God? I'll never forget taking my wife's brother's little boy when his wife was in the hospital having their second child. And he was becoming excited and didn't want to be still, as a two-year-old would be. And so I decided to take him for walks up and down the hall. And I stood him up at the York Hospital. We were up on, I don't know what floor it was, sixth or whatever. And I took him at the end of the hallway, and I stood him on the windowsill, and I looked out there. And I said to him, what do you see? Now imagine, here's a boy about 2 years old. Never in a church, standing on a windowsill, looking over the city of York, and he goes, church, in his little way he could say, church. There was a big steeple that sticks up from downtown York on a church. How did he know that? I said, would you like to go to church? Church, church. Excitedly like. We know there's a God. Do we trust him and believe in him? He's the creator, the Word. But it also says in here, in verse 2, that the earth was without form and void. And it would be better translating that unformed. and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And it says the Spirit of God. And we see the Spirit of God moving and giving life. Job 27:3 says, all the while my breath is in me, the Spirit of God is in my nostrils. And Job 32:8 says, but there is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. Isaiah 42:5 says, thus saith God the Lord, he that created the heaven and stretched them out, he that spreadeth forth the earth, and that which cometh out of it, he that giveth breath unto the people upon it, and spirit to them that walk therein. Here we see the Spirit of God involved in creation. Here we see the Spirit of God with God in the beginning. Beginning of what God gives as time. That which God created of time. What about this creation? It says all things were made by him. John 1:3. Without him was not anything made that was made. In Isaiah 45:12, he says, I have made the earth and created man upon it. I, even my hands, have stretched out the heavens, and all their host have I commanded. We live in a day and time when even a lot of churches, a lot of Bible colleges are falling to evolution. And unless we are persuaded that God created the heavens and the earth, and he did his creation in 6 days, then our God is not a big God. And our God is not a God that's in control of this world. You cannot have a world where God started, sat back in his easy chair, folded his hands, and said, okay, now we're going to watch as this rock explodes in a space somewhere and brings forth a billions of years of whatever. One of the saddest things that we have today is we have many young people who sit in Bible-believing churches hearing about God, hearing about creation, and go off to a college and are persuaded that it's not true. Why was God creating everything? Genesis 1:31. God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. Why did he make it? For his glory. Romans 1:20, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead. Why? So that they are without what? Excuse. You can't have a world and have a God if you believe in evolution. You either have a world without God, which many people want, or you have a world with God and he is the creator. That's why we see a world that is running so rampant with lawlessness and evil. Why is this earth created? Isaiah 6:3, one cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. You ever look to the heavens and see the glory of God? You ever see a sunshine rising over the waters and see a beautiful sunset and recognize God's glory in all of these things. Even though we live in that which God created, he had to curse because of sin, we still see his glory in all of it. But we also recognize that this God knew everything and planned everything before it ever even happened. It says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 3, "For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world." The works were finished before he ever even began. God set forth a plan. What was that plan that he had set forth? He set forth this plan even before the foundation of the world. Matthew 25:34 says, "Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." God set up a plan before he ever even created the earth. John 17:24, he says, "Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world." First Peter 1, verse 20 says, "Who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead, and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God." The whole idea here is that God had it all planned. God orchestrated it all before Genesis 1:1 even started. Is your God that big? Do you see a God that understands you that well and knows you? Can you even imagine where it says Revelation 13:8, "And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world." He even had our names written in the book of life before Genesis 1:1. This God, this Creator, this Son, the Word, it says in Colossians 1:16, "For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, and whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were recreated by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist, and he is the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence, for it pleased the Father that in him should all the fullness dwell." Can you just imagine God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, without time, without space, without matter, knowing every step of the way that takes place to this moment we're at here? What is this, January 3 or 4? January 4, 2015. God planned it all. Every bit of it. And we look around us and we think, wow, it's falling apart. He's losing control. Is he? Is he in control? Hebrews 1:1-4 said, "God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much more better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. All before the foundation of the world was planned, and God showed us who he is through his Son Jesus. What do we do with the Lord Jesus Christ today? How do we look? First of all, we look at God, and we look at also God the Son as well. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. What does it say? Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Looking on to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the same shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Where's your eyes focused at this year? Let's go back to the beginning. Let's focus on God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Let's keep our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I read a story where a person went and visited a great painter. This painter was working in his studio. As this person went into the studio where the painter was working, he noticed that there was a string of costly jewels, precious stones that were hanging on the easel, each one in a different color. And he was asked, why would you have such valuable stones hanging on the easel, these different colored stones? And he answered and said, I need them to stimulate my eyes. I need them to strengthen my mind. I need them to recognize true color. He pointed out as he paints and works with paints and different colors, he begins to blend colors together, and his mind begins to lose sight of that which is the perfect color. And so he has to look back at something that has that particular color, so he doesn't lose sight of the true color. What is needed for us? Let us be able to look to the Lord Jesus Christ and continue to keep our focus there, so that we recognize that which is the true color. So we keep focus of what is true, so that we don't have a tendency to lean towards that which is untrue, shaded, blurred. Jesus Christ came, what? To save sinners, did he not? It says, John 3:13, no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, the Son of Man which is in heaven. Luke 19:10 says, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. By looking on to Jesus, by keeping our eyes focused on Jesus, we recognize the purpose of this whole creation. Even though Adam sinned against God, and every man born since then have sinned, John 3:16, a verse you're so familiar with, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus Christ went to the cross and suffered for us, who being in Philippians chapter 2, verse 6, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. When we're looking towards Jesus, when we're looking at the Lord Jesus Christ, we recognize his gift that he has given us, his own life for our sins. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, he was made sin for us who knew no sin, that we may be the righteousness of God in him. We need to keep our perspective and our focus in the right place. We have redemption through his blood, it says in Ephesians 1:7. The forgiveness of sin. If we keep our focus in the right direction, it helps us in our walk. He has made peace for us with God so that we can walk in that peace. It says in Colossians 1:20, having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things of earth or things in heaven. And in believing and receiving the Lord Jesus Christ, it says in 2 Corinthians 5:21, he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God. We become righteous in him. And when we're righteous in him, we can also, as we're looking at the Lord Jesus Christ, recognize that we're secure. And when we see that we're secure, it gives us that peace that we have. What security have we in him? You're so familiar, I'm sure, with John 10, verse 28. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. He gives us access to God. Hebrews 7, 24 and 25, by this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood, wherefore is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for us. We have that security. We have that rest. We have that peace if we keep our eyes focused on him. He is our mediator between God and man. He is our advocate between God and man. We have that joy then of what? As we go into 2015, we can also recognize that there is a rapture awaiting. You might not get to take communion this morning if you know Christ as your Savior. Do you hear the trumpet? The church might get empty pretty quick. He might call us home. Is there anything holding him from doing that? No. That's why we need to keep our eyes focused on him. Because he is the one who calls his home to be with him. What's it say in 1 Thessalonians 4:15? For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Can you imagine you're going to enter in one of these days to timelessness? Eternity without time? With the Lord forever? What are we looking for? That blessed hope, that glorious appearing of the great God, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And then we have become heirs with Him of all things. We're waiting patiently for Him. And what happens then as we're looking for that? 1 John chapter 3, 2 and 3 says, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him." Won't that be a glorious day? As you also look to God, as you also look to the Lord Jesus Christ, you can also remember this. Colossians 1:27 says, "To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." How do we live this next year? Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, "I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me." Everywhere you walk, everything you do, you are the temple of the living God. And you are radiating or defacing God before others, depending on how your walk is. You and I need to have a focus. That focus is on the Lord Jesus Christ. That focus is on God Himself. And in keeping our eyes focused on Him, we can walk in this world till the day He calls us home to be with Him. And we can walk in peace and rest in whatever takes place in this world. That's the only way it's going to be okay. Amen. Thank you. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Father, You have showed us again this morning Your word of truth. You have brought us back to the beginning. You have helped us to see that all that matters in this world is You. You are to be glorified. You are to be exalted in everything that takes place. And all that You do, You work in and through our lives. We must receive You, Lord Jesus, as our Savior. We must become crucified in this fleshly world. We, Lord Jesus, must allow You to live through us through the power of Your Holy Spirit. And only by keeping our eyes on You is that going to be possible. And Father, as we prepare ourselves for to partake of this bread and this cup, remembering you. May that be our focus.